We're going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 19 through 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Father, we just lift up Neil to you, Lord. As he brings your word, I pray that you would give him wisdom, give him everything that he needs to present your word to us in a way that we can take it internally and write it on our hearts, Lord. Just ask that you would bless us this day as we hear your word through Neil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, good morning. I finished a book recently that gave me an idea for this sermon. It's called Once an Arafat Man by Taf Sayada, who was once a Muslim who turned Christian. And in the foreword written by Joel Rosenberg, he writes that this book, quote, tells the unforgettable story of a jihadist who found Jesus, of a violent revolutionary who was radically transformed one day by the power of the Holy Spirit and became a man of peace and compassion. This is the story of the greatness of our great God. It is the story of a man who fell in love with a Savior who loves Arabs as well as Jews. The God of the Bible is crystal clear to all who will listen. He loves us all with unfathomable love, with an everlasting love, with an unquenchable love. His love is so amazing, so divine, that he actually offers all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, the free gift of salvation through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus. He wants to adopt each one of us into his own family. He wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to heal us and change us and make us like him. And then he wants to empower us to be a blessing to others. Taf said yes to that love, and he was changed forever. Unquote. Well, doesn't seem to be working, but maybe I have to turn it on. There we go.
No, that was me, Neil.
Huh?
That was me, just nod your head and
I'll... Okay, will do. Well, there is one story that Taf tells about that I thought took a lot of faith to obey God. And 10 years after becoming a Christian in the U.S., he felt the call by God to go back to Qatar, where his parents, who were getting old, were living. His parents and older brother were not happy about him leaving the Muslim faith and becoming a Christian. But he thought, surely the family's anger at me would have cooled by now. He knew it would be risky because his older brother had told him at one time, a long time ago, that he would kill him for leaving the Muslim faith. And when he called his brother to tell of his plan to visit, he was reminded of the threat to be killed. But Taf was undeterred. The brother said, "Well, it's your life. Do as you please. We'll definitely be waiting for you." Before leaving for Qatar, Taft and his wife had many people praying for him for his trip. Well, I will finish this story a little later. But right now I want to look at what this faith is that Taft had in God to want to go back to Qatar and face life-threatening danger. Well, last Sunday we looked at God's faithfulness. This Sunday we will look at our faithfulness because of God's faithfulness. So, what is faith? Here is a definition from the dictionary. It is a noun. Number one, faith is confidence or trust in a person or a thing. Number two, faith is a belief that is not based on proof. Number three, faith is a belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion. Number four, faith is a system of religious belief, the Christian faith, the Jewish faith. Number five, according to Christian theology, faith is a trust in God and in his promises as made through Christ and the scriptures by which humans are justified or saved. Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and verse 6 describes faith. Now, faith is a certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen, for by it the people of old gained approval. In verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. So how do we have faith? Faith comes from God. Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, says in Romans 12, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Well, God has given every believer a measure of faith. How? How has God given this faith? Well, faith is a gift of God. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, chapter 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And Jesus begins and finishes faith in a person's heart. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith. Well, what did Jesus teach about faith? What does the Bible say about faith? How much faith do we need to trust God? Well, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 11 tells a story of Jesus and his disciples passing by the fig tree that Jesus had cursed the day before. In Mark 11, 21 to 23. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. And Jesus told a parable about faith, as told in Matthew 17 that Kevin read. When they, that is Jesus and his disciples, came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly. for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was healed at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your meager faith, for truly I say to you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. An inconsequential speck of faith, the size of a mustard seed, can move mountains. Now, I don't think Jesus wants us to literally move mountains or throw them into the sea. Jesus was saying something in a way that the Jews could relate to. The Jews at the time Jesus said these things would describe problems or difficulties that were hard or impossible to deal with as mountains, as trying to move a mountain, something that was impossible to do. In the song we sing sometimes, Mighty to Save, it says, Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Yes, he can move the mountains, but the song is really talking about removing the difficulty for us to be saved. We cannot save ourselves from the wrath of God. No amount of works on our part can save us. It is impossible for us to save ourselves on our own. We need God to save us, and he is mighty to save. He saved us by sending his son, Jesus, to die for us, to take the punishment for our sins. It was his mighty work on the cross that saves us. All we need to do is put our faith in him, in what Jesus did for us on the cross, not in anything we have done. Remember Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Well, faith is powerful. What does the Bible teach about faith? Galatians 2:16 says that we are justified by faith in Jesus. Nevertheless, knowing that a person is not justified by works of a law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of a law. By works of a law, since by works of a law, no flesh will be justified. Justification by faith means that God has removed the penalty of our sins and has declared us to be righteous. By God's work, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that we live by faith in Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And in Acts 26, verse 18, Jesus told Paul to open their eyes, that is, the Jews and the Gentiles, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So we are sanctified, made holy by faith in Jesus. Sanctification is the process by which Christians are set apart for God from the rest of the world, or the process by which Christians are made holy. This process is God working in us to grow in the Lord, or to grow in spiritual maturity. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, that in Jesus we have boldness and confident access through faith in him, meaning that we can be bold and pray with confidence to our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, faith is powerful. We are justified by faith in Jesus. We live by faith in Jesus. We are sanctified by faith in Jesus. And we have boldness and confident access through faith in Jesus. We have many examples of people who live by faith. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 lists the names of people in the Old Testament who lived by faith, known as the Hall of Faith. What these people all had in common was that by their faith, they were pleasing to God. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, the difference being that Abel's attitude was worshipful, and Cain's attitude was not. And by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He was pleasing to God. And down in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, even though he did not see any evidence of the flood to come. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. He obeyed God to leave and go to the land of promise without knowing where he was going. Down in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac as a sacrifice, even though God told him, through Isaac, your descendant shall be named. Well, the writer of Hebrews mentions the faith of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. In verse 28, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, Moses and the Israelites passed through the Red Sea as through dry land. They were surrounded by walls of water, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. And by faith, the Israelites obeyed God and marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days before the walls fell down. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed and helped the spies in peace. Then there was Gideon. Let's review what we learned about Gideon a while ago in chapter 6 of Judges. God sent Gideon to address the predicament Israel was having with the Midianites, even though Gideon thought of himself as too weak, looked at himself and doubted that God could do with him. what God could do with him. But God accommodated Gideon's faith, lack of faith, by performing signs reassuring Gideon that he was with him. Then along with Gideon, there were Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David and Samuel, and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, and the list of names goes on. Well, after the Hall of Faith, the beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews says, therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, the great cloud of witnesses, the people in the Hall of Faith, they surround us. What does that mean that they surround us? Well, there are Bible scholars who believe that these people, the great cloud of witnesses, are looking down on us from heaven, perhaps praying for us or encouraging us. But I believe the intent of the author of Hebrews is to show that because of the faithfulness of these people, of those people mentioned in the previous chapter, we should follow their example. Because of their faith, their witness, we should be encouraged to follow them by having faith as well. Doing God's will for our lives, not letting anything get in our way, turning away from our sins, running with endurance the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the one who gave us the faith and who is the one who will perfect our faith. I like what Pastor Don said a while ago about those in the Hall of Faith. He said something like this: God's word will endure forever. Those in the Hall of Faith will be forever remembered for what God did through them. We have the opportunity, just like them, to make a difference for eternity if we allow ourselves to be used by God. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Laurel? Second Corinthians 5:7. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I can't quite see it. Okay. And when we do that, when we walk by faith, God is pleased with us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Well, great things can happen by those whose faith was at one time only the size of a mustard seed. And as we saw with Gideon, when our faith does falter or we fail to trust God and what he says he will do, he does not give up on us. God is faithful even when we are not. Abraham had faith in God, had faith that God would provide many descendants. But when it didn't seem to like it was going to happen, because he and Sarah were very advanced in age, beyond the age of having a child, he decided to do it his way, taking Hagar, a handmaiden of Sarah, as his wife, and conceived a son with her rather than with Sarah. But in God's own timing, Sarah eventually conceived a son, as God had promised. God was faithful even when Abraham was not. Our problem is God tells us to do, and we look at ourselves, we look at our weakness and say, we can't do this. Instead, we are to go in what little strength we have and do. And he, our God, is with us. Give God our best, and our best should be meaningful. And let him respond. We are to step out in faith and do not let fear drive us. Now, back to the story about Taz. He feels called by God to leave the U.S. to face a dangerous situation because he's now a Christian, no longer following the Islam religion, which is punishable by death, and meet his brother and parents in Qatar. Upon meeting his brother at the airport, Taz could see that his brother was packing a pistol in his pocket. All the brother had to do was ask him three times if he would return back to Islam. And if Taz said no all three times, Taz could be legally shot. Legally killed according to Sharia law without being prosecuted. His brother would be called a hero for spilling the blood of one who had befouled the family honor and insulted the family religion. But before his brother could say anything, Taz walked up to his brother and kissed him on the right side of his neck, which in the Muslim culture meant, I submit to your authority. I honor you. Do as you wish. With tears in his eyes, his brother hugged him and invited him to stay at his house. Now to us, that looks like it took a lot of faith on Taz's part. But his faith was only the size of a mustard seed. A week later, when the time came to leave, Taz thought to himself that he was leaving with his faith intact, as well as his life. So this is what it's like when believers stand together in intercession for one another. Now, I can't claim to have the faith that Taz had or even come close to being in a situation that Taz went through to test my faith, but there have been incidents in my life that required some faith. Examples of my personal faith: it took faith to sell our house in San Jose after losing my job, not knowing where we would go or end up. It took faith to move here to Cottonwood with no job. And it took faith to go through many job changes, 5 different jobs with minimal downtime. Each experience tested my faith, making me stronger each time in trusting the Lord would provide. Well, how about our faith as a congregation? We have certainly gone through periods that have tested our faith. Some examples of our congregation, of the faith of our congregation: it took faith to be self-supporting and able to help support other VM churches. It took faith to go through many changes in pastors. The Bredos, Bowers, Petries, Laxon. And now we are on our fifth pastor, the Edsels. It took faith to find property. First of all, it was Snively. Now, across the street, Indian Lake. It took faith to build and finance the church across the street. Through all these circumstances, for me and our church, God has been and is providing. God gives us each a measure of faith, but it's not enough to just be given our faith. We must use it, exercise it. God gives us muscle, but if we don't use them or exercise them, they grow weak. They don't become strong or stay strong. The same is true for our faith. If we don't use our faith or exercise our faith is weak. We never become strong in our faith. It's not good to just have faith. Faith must be followed by action. James chapter 2, verses 18 to 16, 18 to 26. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? Was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God." You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was Rahab the prostitute not justified by works also when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So how is our faith? Are we using it? How do we come to have faith? We are each allotted a measure of faith from God. It is a free gift of God. It comes from reading the Word of God. And Jesus begins and finishes faith in us. All we need is faith the size of a mustard seed for us to accomplish anything God wants us to do. By our faith in Jesus, what are we? We are justified by faith in Jesus. We live by faith in Jesus. We are sanctified, made holy by faith in Jesus. And we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Well, not only are we to use our faith, but our faith is to be tested. James 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, that's what we saw in Tarsus' story. When he obeyed God and went to Qatar to visit his parents, even though he knew it would be dangerous to go there, God tested his faith. He endured it, and he came back alive, stronger than ever in his faith in God. That's what we should want, strong faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the measure of faith that you have given each one of us, and that your son Jesus begins and finishes the faith in us. Help us to allow ourselves to be used by you, to do your will. And help us to use our faith, to grow in our faith, and let the testing of our faith help us to grow stronger in our faith in you. We just thank you for you being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.